This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, hello, whenever you are watching this. Welcome back to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. It's going to be Thursday when you guys are listening to this, so congratulations on making it to the end of your 4-day week. Hopefully we can make it a little bit easier for you to get there. And we have a double bill of Millwall to look forward to over the weekend. We're recording this on the Wednesday night. You guys listen to it on the Thursday, you'll be listening to it tonight. The preview's going to come from me, Negative Dan. Omar, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you, mate? You right?
Yeah, not bad. I've actually finished work for the week, so looking forward to a nice few days off. It's gonna be brilliant. And Jay's also with us tonight. Jay, good evening, mate.
Evening, chaps. How are we?
We're all good, mate. We're all good. Stephen is not here tonight for reasons we do not know. Wouldn't comment. Who knows where he is? He might be out. I don't know. I was about to say, you never know. Well, and our leader, Mickey Simpson, I think he's leaving the country on Thursday. So when you guys listen to it, he's going to Turkey. So place your bets what he's going to come back with, what additions he's going to have. I think he's going to be looking like John Travolta when he comes back.
I don't know, what do you think?
I think he's going to come back with Turkey teeth. How about that? There you go. I thought I went to see John Travolta with Turkey teeth. What do you reckon to that, Jay?
I think he's going to have the works, mate. I think he's going to be lipo, hairs done, tan, the lot, mate. He's going to come back looking like Katie Price, I think.
Well, so that will give you something to look forward to. And Mickey's back in a couple of weeks. So in the meantime, all abuse that would usually get directed towards Mickey needs to go towards Omar and Stephen. So anyway, we're going to crack on. So you guys obviously listen to this on the Thursday. We're in action tomorrow. We're playing West Brom, a team that are in the playoffs at the moment. Obviously, we come into the back of this game and our last game was that defeat to Leeds United. But we had won two home games on the bounce. Omar, would you say reason to be kind of optimistic going into this game?
Yeah, I think we've spoke about it obviously in recent shows and stuff, but Neil Harris has brought a lot of optimism back to the club in a sense that we can get a result. I mean, is it going to be pretty? Is it going to be, you know, tiki-taka football? No, it's not. But what we're going to get is, you know, a team going in, fighting for their lives and trying to, you know, graft out, hopefully, 3 points. But yeah, I think calls for optimism, but I think obviously West Brom are a team hot in form at the moment and, you know, up in the playoffs and, you know, Sir Jed Wallace is returning, hasn't he? So it's going to be an interesting affair, mate.
I will touch on Jed Wallace as well, as there's a couple of players actually who have crossed paths between the Baggies and the Lions. So we'll come on to that in a moment. Jay, how do you feel going into this game? Obviously, West Brom now aren't in bad form themselves. They stuck 4 past Huddersfield just before the international break, which obviously did us a favour as well.
Yeah, exactly that. And exactly what Omar said. Look, Neil Harris has brought a real sense of belief, not just to the club, but playing at the Den again. And West Brom, you know, any team, it doesn't matter whether it's West Brom or whether it's Rotherham, coming to the Den is going to be difficult for teams now. The crowd is a sellout. I've read today that there was less than 1,000 tickets. So it's going to be booming. The Den's going to be rocking. We'll set up in typical fashion. It'll be come and beat us. If you can beat us, you're welcome to the points. But it's going to be hard graft for West Brom. But, you know, like you said, two wins in the Harris era at the Den, back-to-back clean sheets at the Den, more to the point as well. Optimism, definitely.
And I'm probably going to curse us now here, but I don't actually think we have a terrible record against West Brom, particularly since we've been playing them in the last few years. I think I can only recall one defeat to them, which was just before we went into lockdown in 2020, where we did lose 2-0 at the Den.
Did we get hung over that game that was on Sky when it was like pissing down with rain?
I tried
to get down there. I failed the attempt to get there, but yeah, I think away from home we've been quite decent, haven't we? A couple of draws.
Yeah, and
we should have beaten them away from home. To be fair, Zian missed the penalty.
Last season we obviously beat them 2-1 at the Den. Tyler Bury, who remembers that name? He scored the winner. Yeah, exactly. And then the season before that, we won 2-0 at the Den. So I don't know whether we're something of a bogey team for West Brom. It's just, as I said, I don't really recall them getting the better of us too many times. And I think when you look at our games after this, the Rotherham game, and in particular Huddersfield game, which is shaping up to be a six-pointer, I think if you can get a win, maybe even a point, depending on the performance and the manner of the point, then it's going to be good to maybe get a bit of momentum going into two big games in close succession after this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too carried away myself, but I mean, look, I think Friday's obviously, or tomorrow's going to be a big game for us, but I think, listen, it wouldn't be nice if we got 6 points this weekend and just, that was it, job done, because it feels like it's going to be a couple more wins to get there, and I think that must be something of an incentive that Harris is drumming into these players. He's had a couple of weeks with them on the training ground, a few players were on international duty, but it could, obviously, it'd be nice. I mean, is it feasibly going to happen? Who knows, but you know, focus on Friday, but then with Monday set up as well, you know, if you get a result on Friday, I think you follow up on Monday, you're still all but safe, won't we, I feel like.
Jay, I offered you 4 points from six now, would you take that?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, you look at it now with the position we're in, 5 points clear of third from bottom. If you take into account goal difference, that's a 6-point differential we've got between us and the bottom three. So if you can get 4 points out of it, you know, however way round that comes, whether that's a point at the Den and three away, it doesn't really matter. It's the Huddersfield game that, for me, is now the most important game of the season. Because if we can get at least a draw at Huddersfield, just don't lose at Huddersfield, and we pick up 4 points before that game, then the gap becomes massive. And then it's another 3 games down, and that could be looking easily like near enough 12 points that we could be clear. You know, you've got Birmingham have got to play QPR. A lot of these teams have got to play each other. So as long as they don't better our results, I'll take a draw every game to the end of the season. You know, it's just about bettering the teams around us. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I think we said it on the previous pod. If you offer us 4 points now, without a shadow of a doubt, I think you have to take it.
I think also we need to keep the home form up as well, Dan, I think. But that's the key part for me. Like, it's obviously 2 wins, isn't it? And, you know, he's under 1,000 tickets left at the time of recording today. It's going to be, you know, colossal on Friday. And I always say Neil Harris team does well in front of a packed house then. We're going to get that on Friday. And hopefully the players deliver that.
I think if you look at the remaining home games that we've got as well, like you just said, Omar, you know, playing at home, the home form is going to be really important. We've got Plymouth to come to the Den. They're struggling. Cardiff as well, they've got to come to the Den. So we've got some games that are really winnable at the Den. I think if we win our home games, or at least don't drop too many points at home, I think safety's inevitable.
That's fair.
I don't want to be going jumping the gun, because this is the Championship. We are Millwall. We know what we are capable of. We know what this league's capable of. And 5 points isn't a massive buffer. But when you consider how many teams there are in between us, and you'd have to say 23rd, really, because Sheffield Wednesday, credit where credit's due to them, have given themselves a decent chance of staying up, which I don't think many of us would have given them a couple of months ago. So you've got to say they're in that mix. But we've got a decent points cushion for this stage of the season. A lot of these teams are still going to have to play each other, and there's so many teams in there to the point where I'm not massively panicking at the moment. And as you touched on there, Omar, it's probably going to be a sellout. As we said, less than 1,000 tickets remaining. You would imagine they'll be gone. West Brom have also sold their allocation. They'll be ringing 2,000 down to the Den for Friday lunchtime's game. And this is the type of game that you would have feared under Gary Rowett. Millwall going into a sellout Den.
Yeah.
You don't really fear that anymore. The club, there's still a long way to go until we could say we've got our Millwall back, or what this maybe new, old, hybrid kind of style of Millwall football club's going to look like. We don't know. But we've got a little bit of it back, haven't we, chaps?
I think so. We've got guard to get against complacency, but I think that's the one thing Harris will be, you know, like, we're getting carried away. I mean, like I said, like, smash 6 points this weekend. Is that going to happen feasibly? The chances probably are very slim, but I think the one thing, you know, this division has taught us over the years. I remember the year with Jacket when we got to the FA Cup semi-final. We had Chris Wood the first half of the season. We're in the playoffs. We're like, we're not going to go down when it starts to get towards the end of the season. And we had the games in hand and kept losing, sinking into it. And then the last game of the season, we relied on Palace scoring against Peterborough to keep us up. And it's like, you know, like this division has taught us over the years, you can't get complacent. It's got to be game by game, really. And I think that's what Harris will be drumming into them. And that's what he's been doing since he's come in. When he first came in, he was like, focus on Southampton, focus. And then it was like literally game by game. And I think that'll be the message to them. And, you know, obviously we're confident because of the position we're in now, but the job's far from done. But, you know, that carrot will be dangled to them. You know, a couple get wins this weekend, probably would keep us safe. And it's a great incentive for the players, I feel like.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with everything Omar just said. That Harris knows this division. He knows this football club. He knows how to get the fans going. He knows how to get the best of the ability out of these players. He signed most of these players. So he knows exactly what boxes to tick, what buttons to push. And he's brought me back to basics. It's all about disciplined positional play off the ball, making sure everyone does their job. And he's done it in such a manner where we can look over our shoulder a little bit. As you said, the job isn't done, far from it. But, you know, we'd rather be in this position that we're in than being in Huddersfield position or in Sheffield Wednesday's position. So Harris has done a fantastic job. Whether that leads to him being the long-term guy, we still don't know what the view looks like beyond this season. I don't think we can even think about talking about that. But yeah, as Omar said, look, this is the championship. It's Tuesday, Saturday, most weeks for 50 weeks almost. And you every week it changes. Norwich, who were right at the top at the moment, they, I think a couple of weeks ago, they were sitting in eighth, but their point differential was closer to the bottom three.
They were calling for their manager's head not that long ago, weren't they? Remember when they played that?
Exactly that. It is a week by week basis, and you can't take any point you get in this league for granted.
Exactly. Just want to touch on our visitors' form. I've just had a look. They've lost one of their last 10 games. These are two kind of informed teams. They're going to be going into this game. As I mentioned, they beat Huddersfield 4-1. They beat Bristol City by 2-0. They drew 2-2 to QPR. They beat Coventry 2-1, drew 1-1 to Hull. The last game they lost was in the middle of February, lost 2-0 to Southampton. But since then, they've been on great run of form. We know it's going to be a tough game. They seem to be a well-organised team. They seem to have a lot of energy. It's Carlos Corberan, you know, someone who was under Bielsa's wing for a long part of his coaching career, you kind of expect. So I think it's going to be a different kind of challenge. I think they're going to be pressing us very high. And obviously, where we're going to try and knock the ball a bit longer is going to mean maybe a different game to what we've seen recently, particularly in comparison to the Birmingham game.
Yeah, I mean, I like Corberan. I think, you know, considering the off-field trouble they had at the start of the season and stuff and everything around it, for them to be where they are, I think, what, 7 or 8 points clear in the playoffs? He's done a remarkable job for them. And, you know, they've got a good squad there, you know. The three transfers they made that summer before last, you know, Swift is still in there, I think, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Wallace is obviously their captain. And, you know, they've got players in there that can cause trouble for us. And I think they're quite a physical side too. I remember that Sami Ajayi, the centre-half. So, look, they'll be up for the fight Friday. And, you know, Wallace will get him up for it. He's the captain there. And I think it'll be interesting to see the reception he gets. I know I touched him earlier. Yeah. We'll come back to him. But that's, you know, it's a good side there. Good players. And I think Wallace is even playing further up the field nowadays.
As Matt said, the last few games, Jed Wallace has actually been playing up top for West Brom, which is, we saw him play in a central role. We saw him play at times up top in a 5-3-2. Under Gary Rowett, up top of Mason Bennett. It looks like he's been the most recent game they've played, at least, has been up top as a lone striker in a 4-2-3-1. So that'll be something a bit different. But I think that kind of tells you about the way they're going to want to play. They're going to want to, when they do get the ball, they're going to want to play football, play it quickly, get it forward to him, because he's going to be the one that can make the runs and really stretch the defence.
I think that Yokozuna in midfield, the Turkish geezer as well, scored an absolute worldie against them.
He did again.
I've seen it, watch it back. It comes across him, wallops it, top corner, and like, you know, they've got good players in there. Even Alex Mallet, who used to be at Barnsley. Like, it's a good championship side. And
yeah,
they'll be up for it. They know the league inside out, a lot of them.
They've got a good blend of, like, championship stalwarts. Players like Sami Ajayi and Cedric Kiepre and Moat. Players who have been around this level for a long time and know what it takes. And then they've got good flair players like Jed Wallace and Mikey Johnston, who they signed on loan from Celtic in January, and he's been absolutely phenomenal for him. I think that's going to be a really tough battle for Ryan Leonard, presuming he's the one who's going to keep his slot at right back. So, yes, it's definitely going to be a tough game, isn't it, Jay? How do you see it panning out? What players do you think could be key for either team?
Yeah, that young fella that you just said come over from Celtic, he's a player and a half. He is. I watched him at QPR. He scored an absolute weldie. And at Hull,
he's making his own goal of the season competition based on the goals he's scored so far.
He's a fantastic player. And like you said, you know, they've got pace. They've got a good balance of strength, physicality, and they can get the ball down and play football. You know, Corbrell's a great manager in this league. He's a really good manager. They're tactically sound. You know, everyone knows their job. They work really hard. And Harris type mentality, you know, they chase everything down. I know Thomas Asante's been injured, which is why Jed Wallace was playing through the middle. He's done very, very well there. They're going to cause us a whole manner of problems. You know, they're good all over the field. They're good at the back. And it will be a test for us. But, you know, they're going to probably press up really high. They're going to probably come onto us. And that will play into Harris's strengths a little bit, because we will sit off. We will let them have the ball. And they will probably, hopefully, commit too many men forward. And then we'll be able to hit them on the counter, which is what Harris wants us to do. So, yeah, I expect them to come straight after us so soon as the whistle goes. But, you know, it's going to be just as difficult for them to break us down as it will be for us. So, but they're a top quality side, and they're my team to go up in the playoffs.
I make you right on that second point there. I actually do think they are. I think they'll probably be the team. Going off on a little bit of a tangent here quickly, just on about the playoffs. As we know about the playoffs, it can often be momentum which carries you through in the playoffs. And if you look at some of the teams that often have been the third best team in the league, they might have missed out on automatic promotion in such a heartbreaking way on the final day. And that you know, they're not in good momentum for the playoffs, and the playoffs are all about momentum. So I think West Brom is definitely a very good pick. Right, we've managed to go about 15 and a half minutes without talking too much about him. So let's address the elephant in the room, chaps. Jed Wallace is coming back to the Den.
I hope he gets... Do you know what? I think when the old players come back, some people hang on to him, or some people want to... Listen, let's have it right. It's the same when anyone comes back, including ex-managers and stuff. Give him a round of applause. But as soon as that whistle goes first minute...
Not the Millwall I know.
This is how it is, though. Like, if I saw Jed outside, I'd be like, hello, Jed. Because, you know, I think he clawed a bit of it back last year, obviously coming down when Berylson passed away and signed that book and stuff. And I think the reputation amongst the fans, it was a bit Marmite after last season when he assisted the goal and celebrated in front of Carmen Lane. And I remember saying a few words at the time. But listen, when the game...
Yeah, that would have been right in front of both.
Yeah, correct. And when that game's on, listen, it condenses that 90 minutes of you're going to get hurled of loads of abuse. I think that surprised him last year. I think that's what caught him off guard, because it's like, oh, Jed Wallace coming back. He's been here, 7 years on and off. And, you know, everyone put him on a pedestal. And rightly so, he was our best player for a lot of that time. So, but, you know, even the best of the best get a toxic reception when they come back to the Den. And on Saturday or Friday, he's the opposition. And for that reason, you know, he will get it again. But that's that 90-minute window where you give him dogs abuse. And at the end of the game, he'll probably clap us. I'll probably clap him back. And that's it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you get on with it. It's football.
I actually think before the game last season, someone tweeted him and said, what kind of reception do you want, Jed, during the game? And yeah, he said, I want a small round of applause for a star, dog's abuse for 90-plus minutes or whatever, and then another small round of applause at the end. Is that going to be a tough reception you give him, Jay?
Yeah, look, he's going to get that. He knows he's going to get that. He wants that, you know, and he does deserve the plaudits, because he was a fantastic player for us for a long period of time. He's very consistent. But also, he is the opposition player, and he will play on it. He will try and rile the crowd. He does that. We've seen him when he goes down for corners. He'll have a little look at the crowd. You know, he'll G his team up. You know, he will play on it. He will push our buttons, and we will get on his back. And we won't make it difficult for Jed Wallace, because he's the type of player that thrives on that. He enjoys that. He's a bit boisterous. But it'll be feisty, and it will only be a good thing for us, because the crowd will react and the crowd will be loud. So it will only be a good thing for us. But yeah, look, Jed was a great player for us, and credit to him for coming down from the Midlands when Berylson passed, and to show his respects as well. He clearly still cares about the club. He tried to make he made a bigger move. Let's be honest, West Brom's a bigger club. They could pay him a lot more money than we could have, and they've got aspirations of making the Premier League, something that we're probably a good few years off, depending on where we go in the future. So yeah, look, I don't wish Jed Wallace any harm. I don't mean him any displeasure, you know. Like I said, great player for us. He's going to get stick. He's going to expect it, and he's going to play on it, and it's just going to make for an even better atmosphere at the Den.
I think it got to him last year, though. I think it did.
It, At very first, he didn't expect it.
Yeah, I think because it's us as well, and it's his old club, I think it does add that extra element to him. So, I don't know, maybe we need someone to proper give it to him before the game, or, I don't know, don't go personal with it, but, you know, do the little twang on it. I mean, damn, what kind of reception are you going to give him if you see him?
I mean, he's a tough one, because after last season, I'm not really prepared to, I wasn't really prepared to give him much of a gracious reception, but then he's for me, I know you said he pulled back a little bit. I think he pulled back quite a lot, to be honest, by being on pretty much the first train down the day after the club released the news and being one of the first people to sign the book and condolences. I think he pulled a lot of it back for me. So I know I was giving you stick about not the mill, I know, but to be honest, I think it probably will be, and I think he's gonna. I think, as you chap said, he's gonna play on it. I just hope, you know, it doesn't really inspire him and his team, because I remember one time we was playing Wolves. This was when Kenny Jackett was the Wolves manager, and they were winning 1-0, and he brought on James Henry, and I don't know what happened, but somehow, just bringing on James Henry, we ended up going 3-0 down. James Henry came on, I think he got two assists, and we went 3-0 down. Now, we did come back to draw the game 3-3, so what's
that when Jonas scored a couple goals?
Yeah. I'm not really sure whether I'm trying
to play then.
I'm not really trying to say whether this is a good, whether that's a good or bad thing, but we're going to do it anyway. Listen, he's going to be expecting it, and he's probably going to be more used to what he was expecting, I think.
Wasn't that the game, sorry to just go off on a tangent, wasn't that the game where James Henry was through on goal as well, like late on and short?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, yeah.
And took one for the team there, and yeah.
Standing ovation, red card. Sometimes you get got to be one of the only grounds in the country where you can get a standing ovation for a red card.
That's it.
I remember Shane Lowe getting a couple as well like that, actually, to be fair. Just,
I mean, Saville got one earlier this season, didn't he? He got a standing
ovation. Yeah,
on the subject of him, he's not played international, has he?
And we are gonna come back to that very quickly, because there isn't Wallace will not be the only X-line in the baggage ranks. Obviously, Jason Malumbi. Who remembers him from the lockdown years?
Very good player. Very good player.
I don't think he's going to play. I've just been reading, actually. He's been out having surgery. He is due back around now. But I think this game might come a little bit too soon for him. But yeah, I mean, he's a great little player, isn't he? I have very fond memories of watching him play.
Harris player. Harris type player.
Well, Harris was the one who brought him in.
Yeah, perfect player for us, and would love him now. He's a bit more seasoned now. You know, he's physical, he's big, he's strong. Yeah, love Jason Malumbi, and you know, you can't give Jason Malumbi, if he wants to play, too much stick. He was a lone player, and he'd give everything he had for us, and you know, he went on to bigger and better things.
He was a lone player, very good player, obviously different, I think, to Jed, I think. But
But Priest, he's not going to be playing.
No, I was about to say, yeah, because I think we know what Omer would be probably having a bet on if he was.
What's that then?
Probably Jed Wallace and Jason Malumbi to score at any time. And then judging by your prediction by the Leeds game, probably Millwall to win to nil as well, probably.
Yeah, Millwall to win to nil, and Jed Wallace score any time. Can take that one.
Well, Jed, if you're listening, mate, if you want to stick one in your own there, that'd be greatly appreciated. Swaymer can win his bet as well. That'd be fantastic. But I actually do think that Jason Malumbi segues into George Saville quite nicely, because I think they're quite similar players. And I mean, in my head, it probably seemed a bit nicer, because I was going to ask you guys the question, if Saville wasn't to renew his contract, would you take Malumbi back as maybe someone who could replace him, but being quite a similar profile player?
Yeah, I would. I mean, but don't know if that both probably his long sell. I think with Malumbi, when you mentioned his low spell, I don't know if it was an option or not, but I felt like it was similar to the Charlie Creswell situation for us last summer, like where the club could have and maybe should have shown a bit more ambition to try and get the player over the line. I mean, maybe Creswell's situation a bit more different because Leeds boy gave him a contract and obviously new manager's not taking the fancy to him. But I think with Malumbi, it was quite obvious that Brighton weren't having him. They were on the pastures near in the Premier League, and
yeah,
you know, he came through their ranks. And maybe if we showed a bit of ambition, we could have still had Malumbi as a player now to this day.
If my memory's correct, they kept him for 6 months after his loan spell with us.
They gave him a new deal.
Yeah. And then he went on loan to Preston. I don't think he had a particularly great spell at Preston. Went back to Brighton for 6 months, then went to West Brom, and then West Brom signed him on a permanent deal. I think they only actually paid
around about £750,000 for him as well, which is actually
still for a player like that. And I think Rowley got tuned out of him towards the end of that season before the lockdown. I remember him scoring that ghost goal that weren't a goal for him. Matt Smith claimed it at Boris. Yeah. Great celebration for Burnley, but it weren't his goal. And I think, you know, I would have bitten your hand off if we could have got him after that, even if it was a season afterwards. And probably that ship sailed now, because I think West Brom love him and the fans love him. You're right, he's been injured since the start of the year. But yeah, I'm thankful he's not in the squad, to be honest, because he's a player that can, he thrives on the sort of occasions that the Den might provide.
The atmosphere, I feel like he'd be the type of player to enjoy it, to be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, right, let's move on then to talk about George Saville. Obviously, was called up for the Northern Ireland squad, has stayed with the Northern Ireland squad, but hasn't played. And then, for those of you who may not have seen it, Neil Harris has said that George Saville's been nursing a calf injury, and they're waiting to see the full extent of it. There's a possibility he might be back for this weekend. For Friday this weekend. There's a possibility he might be out for something slightly longer term. Jay, what do you make to that news?
Concerning, definitely concerning. He's a massive piece in that midfield. You know, him and Harris's relationship is not quite what you see from managers and players. You know, they really do care about each other. And Harris really trusts George Saville. You can see that. He's the leader on that field. I know Cooper's got the captain's armband, but George Saville is the leader on that field under Harris. It's definitely concerning, especially with Billy Mitchell's limitations in terms of being a leader and being able to lead the line. I expect we'll see Casper come in, which will be welcome to many people. Casper's a great player. We can't ignore that. But I would like George Saville to, if there's any inkling in that he may be risky, I wouldn't play him. I just wouldn't play him, because we are going to need him in the long haul. If it's a case of him being out for this weekend and we get him back for the rest of the season, then you have to drop him. But we've got a luxury there where we have got Casper Denore, who can come off the bench and fill in that gap. When Casper come on for Billy against Leeds, he, in that short time frame he was on the field, he tripled Billy's passes, tripled his, receptions on the ball, and looked like he fit in to what Harris is trying to do. Now, a lot of people, myself included, would have said that he's not playing because he doesn't quite fit what Harris wants to do. I think he showed that at Leeds a little bit. I think he come and played very well. So if I'm Harris, I wouldn't risk it, because he's so important, Saville. He really is.
I just wonder how much of it is, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was two friendlies for Northern Ireland, wasn't it, this international break? So maybe it wouldn't surprise me if there was, even though he stayed with the camp and all that sort of story behind it, you hear about, you know, players pulling out tactically and stuff like that, or managers.
I mean, he could look at the whole England.
Correct. So it wouldn't surprise me whether Millwall and, you know, maybe they might have had that kind of chat and Saville might have been open and honest with Northern Ireland itself. It wouldn't surprise me if he starts Friday, if I'm totally honest. But I'm with Jay, obviously, on that. You know, if it's a case of he's not fit for Friday, but he's fit for Monday, then to me, you want him available for the game against Rotherham more than anything. But that said about the Denore story, I think I agree with you. Denore came on and made an impact. But I just question whether, if we're saying it's a game where we won't have much of the ball, you want Saville for that sort of game on Friday, the battle in that midfield. That's the thing. It's a real kind of balancing act there. So I suppose we'll only find out at 12 o'clock on Friday. And it's a 1 p.m. kickoff, so don't get caught up on that one.
I was gonna say, though, just an interesting point. Obviously, we've seen Casper and Saville work well. They've played together a lot, and particularly under Edwards. Obviously, the form throughout the Edwards era wasn't great, or that little run over Christmas. We haven't really seen Casper and Billy play too much together. Do you think maybe Casper could cover for Billy's limitations? Do you think that's something that's a possibility, or do you think that's asking? I'm not trying to play Billy down here a little bit, because I think he's good at what he does, but do you think Saville is the better player and that might be asking too much of Casper?
I think with that, though, I think Harris has name-checked the door a few times, saying he's been brilliant at training, playing well, and, you know, but I think he went for Sav and Mitchell based on their relationship from last season as well, under Rowett, like having that kind of chemistry. So that is the tough one. But then I suppose if you know Saville's not around, he's not been training, not in the group, maybe they've been working on it for a couple of weeks at training, and maybe they've got to have some sort of understanding of their game plan for Friday. But I don't know. Be interesting. I mean, what do you reckon, Joe?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like you said, Harris has name-checked Denore because he knows he's a quality player. And he knows he has to address the elephant in the room as to why this quality player is not playing games. Now, Billy Mitchell deserves a lot more credit than I think some people give him, because during that winning run we had in December under Edwards, Billy Mitchell was playing in them games. He comes out of the team, we start losing games again. Billy Mitchell's back in the team under Harris, and we're putting on a good run of form. So Billy Mitchell's a good little player. You know, he gets on the ball really well. I think his on-the-ball work is very underappreciated. I thought countless times at Leeds, he slowed the game down, got us out of sticky situations.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But he plays well with George Saville. Can he emulate that when he's playing with Kasper Dehnoy? I don't know. You'd like to see Kasper with Saville. That would be the preferred. Saville's the aggressor and Kasper's your let's play football. So that's the perfect scenario. But yeah, I agree to everything that Omar just said. Like, if there's a couple of players you do not want missing in this running, George Saville's in the top three of that list, alongside probably Ryan Leonard and maybe Jaffet and Tanganga, the way they're playing at the moment.
I think I'd probably put Zian Fleming in that list as well.
Zian Fleming, Zian Fleming for obvious reasons, but, you know. So it's a real tough call for Harris. It's probably the biggest call he's going to have to make, considering that every position player-wise has been set in every game he's played, apart from left wing, where he's rotated with your favourite player, Dan, and Brooke Norton Cuffey and various others, and Duncan Watmore. You know, he's rotated that. So this is a problem that Harris doesn't want to have. It's not like the left wing. So, yeah, but then what does he do with someone like Alan Campbell? Could he come in? Could he play? I mean, he's probably that closer to George Saville than Kasper Dehnoy, but whenever he's played for us, he hasn't played good.
I think the problem is, as well, he's been out of the squad so long, I think you've got to worry about Alan Campbell's match fitness now. I think if he maybe wanted someone similar to Saville, I think maybe he might put Honeyman in, and then he's got two of the three of Norton.
That's what I was going to come on to that. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I would have probably put Norton Cuffey left and stuck Honeyman in central midfield, and then on the right-hand side, probably look at someone like Emarku or Watmore or someone like that. But yeah, it's like I said, it's a problem he doesn't want to have, a problem us Millwall fans don't want to see. But it's a problem that he needs to choose the right decision here, because we don't want to lose him for longer than we need.
No, absolutely. Going to touch on another player in international duty, didn't play any minutes for his country. That's Michael Obafemi. That's actually one that I'm actually not too upset about, because with him being our only fit striker at the minute, I think the fact he's gone off, he's got himself back into the Ireland squad, I think that's going to boost his confidence for a start. But then the fact he's gone there and not played any games, and unless he's picked up a training injury that we're unaware of, that's fantastic news for us, because we do have to keep him fit at the moment. I don't know if I'd quite put him on that list of imperative players, Jay, that you said you'd keep fit, but if that was like the A list, Obafemi would be on the B list, and he'd be pretty high up the B list at this moment in time.
I think it was two unused sub periods as well, wasn't it? So I think maybe it's a bit of an incentive to come in back and, you know, kind of two figures back up. I think they lost both their games and didn't score Ireland, if I'm not mistaken. But I think with Obafemi, he surprised me, because I wrote him off when Harris first came in. I was like, right, he's not going to, you know, he's the only fit striker, he's going to play. But I think there's one game he came as a sub, and people around me were caning him and just like saying, are you not putting it in? But then a couple games since, and especially, like, you know, I think it was Blackburn, he obviously got his goal. The last home game was Birmingham, wasn't it? And he was running the channels, doing the dog ears and stuff for the team that I'd never thought I'd see him ever do, because every time I've seen him, he's been that player in the middle, picking the ball up, trying to do sharp turns, which you still see a lot of from him, trying to take it on and take players on. But he really brought in, I think, to what we're about. And I think, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Obviously, he's not quite imperative to the team, Dan, but he is an important figure for us, and he's our only fit striker till Nisbet and Bradshaw come back. So I think that we'd come back mid-April, if I'm not mistaken, right? They're trying to get back to then. So
sounds like Bradshaw's. There hasn't been much talk on this, but I think sounds like Bradshaw will be able to play some part before the end of the season. Which I don't think he's going to start over Obafemi under Harris, from what we've seen from Obafemi. He might do, but I also think just having another striker that might allow us to at least make a straight swap at times, or who knows, might even change formation.
Yeah, he's not getting the chance.
Wait, I'm 4-4-2, Omar.
Never happened under Harris, mate, I'm afraid, and I don't want that to happen either. I could keep the 4-4-2, mate. But I think with Obafemi, it's an interesting one, because he isn't the side that he would fit into. But yeah, I've noticed it in the last few games. He's really brought into it. And I don't know if that's Harris, because he's always been up in the post-match press conferences and praising how good he is as a player, and how, you know, he's a great striker and stuff, but you wouldn't have really thought it. But him and Fleming seem to have formed something up there, and it's working, albeit, you know, not really much from them up front, but it's more set plays typically. But there is something there brewing, and who knows, maybe Friday's a day for it.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with everything you said, Omar. I was very surprised as well that he could have quite easily come in off the back of not playing, and he got unwell as well at one point, and he could have thought, you know, I don't want to be a part of this, you know, a place where in a formation and in the style of play, he's not going to get a great deal. He's not going to stand on the stat sheet with hat-tricks or brilliant plays. He's got to work hard, and he's bought into that, and he looks like he wants to be here. I thought at Leeds, he was brilliant. I thought he played very well off the ball, held the ball up very well, and probably take his chances a little bit sooner. But again, it's all match fitness for him. I think he's going to be a big piece. He's going to be a big piece for Harris, because he's the only fit striker. And he plays the position really well as a lone striker, which is what Harris wants. And there's no better person, really, that can get a tune out of a young, developing striker like New Harris can. So it seems like Harris has bought into his strengths and his qualities that he can bring, and Obafemi's took it all on board, and it's pleasing to see, and he's got a big part to play.
And I think as well, the crucial thing about Obafemi, before we move on to the next player that was in international duty for the Lions, I think the crucial thing for me about Obafemi is that probably, other than Idemo, he's got raw pace, which is just something this squad does lack in abundance.
He's physical. He's very physical. He's
a physical player, exactly. So, yeah, that's why I think it is important we keep him fit. So, I think it's good for his confidence that he got called up, but I'm happy he got rewarded with a call-up. I'm also happy he's not played any minutes.
Yeah.
Next player that was in international duty, the third of four, I believe, was Matija Sarkic in goal. Didn't play Montenegro's first game, played the second game, kept a clean sheet in after a 1-0 win over North Macedonia. I mean, again, let's try and keep this one short and sweet, but another clean sheet for him. He's done well since Harris has came in. Confidence booster again, hopefully.
Yeah, I think he'll be tested on Friday as well quite a bit, and hopefully stands up to it. Like I said, albeit that, you know, West Brom seems to be, you know, good attacking players, but I think they'll be physically quite tough on us and set plays as such, and I think be interested how he rises to it. I think he's done all right this season, Sarkic. I'm still not convinced long term if he's the real answer for us for the next 10-15 years, but maybe he grows into the position because he's still relatively young.
He's 26 years old.
For a goalkeeper still, that's, you know,
I was about to say, goalkeepers don't hit their prime till 30, so you could, I mean, if he wants to stay this long, if the club want him, you've probably got 10 years of service in him if they found him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he is buying into Harris as well. He, you know, he's simplified his game for him and just told him, kick it long and don't fuck about it at the back, and it helps him, and it's really just focused his game on trying to stop, hit the goals out of the back of the net. So, I mean, yeah, it'd be interesting how he does Friday. Like I said, long term, hopefully he grows into the role. And I think, you know, it will only do the world of good getting a clean sheet for his national country, and hopefully he brings it back to us, really.
Yeah. Obviously, I think, Jay, I think a lot of us said he was probably one of our best performers against Leeds. So to build on that goal for his country, keep a clean sheet, come back into this crucial run of games, maybe feeling even better about himself.
Yeah, 100%. Look, you don't mind when a goalkeeper goes on international duty, do you? Because it gets him game time, and he's a confidence player. I think we've seen that. He's a confidence type goalkeeper. Most keepers are, but he seems to be more so than some others. And that clean sheet will give him the world of good. He seems to be more confident in the front players he has in front of him, in that back four. And he's playing very well. He's made some real good saves, some real key saves that have kept us in games, that have helped us win the games He made a great save at Southampton away that helped us get 3 points. He was really good at Leeds as well. You know, that could have been a completely different scoreline. And in the games we've played at the Den, you know, he hasn't had to do too much, but he's confident when he comes for crosses now, which he was really not before Harris come along. He was a deer in the headlights coming for crosses. But yeah, he's confident. He looks better on the ball and it's simplified for him. We spoke about Harris going back to basics and Omar just said, you know, Harris has made it simple for him. Just lock it long. And all we could do is ask him to keep the ball out of the net. And we're in this position because partly of how Matty Sarkic has played. And to Omar's point, is he the long term? Maybe, maybe not. The jury's still out. He's got to prove a lot more that he could do it over the course of a season. But the signs are there. You know, he's trending up rather than trending down as he was. So, yeah, it's pleasing to see that he got a clean sheet on international duty. Playing for your country, getting a clean sheet is going to do him absolutely no damage whatsoever. So, yeah, no, that's good news.
And last player we're going to come into now, and we just touched on the player that's improved under Harris. This is someone who's maybe found it slightly harder under Harris than he did Joe Edwards, and that's Brooke Norton-Cuffey, who was playing for the England under-21s. He came off the bench twice. He got an assist in their first game. I think they won 7-0, and he got the assist for the last goal. I mean, I like Norton-Cuffey, and I don't think he great. Grant, I don't think he had a good game against Leeds, but I think in terms of what we have in the winger positions at the moment, for me, he is the best winger that we've got.
He's not a right back or a right winger, is he? Though that's the problem. I feel with
no, that's his, he's wing. He's a wing back. Yeah,
he's no Danny McNamara, mate, a right back. Let's put it that way.
But at this point in time, he's got to be. Well, there's no denying he's better than Longwood. I reckon Omar and Jay would be better on the wing than Longwood.
Cool, don't go too far, mate.
Yeah,
if you're feeding me a pint on the touchline, I might be able to do a better job than Longman. But aside from that, I'm not sure.
I agree to your point. I think Brooke Norton-Cuffey, that's his position now. I think he's Harris has tinkered with it, like we said, with Watmore, with Longman, and you know, and with Brooke Norton-Cuffey. And you said he didn't have his best game at Leeds, he didn't. But this is all learning curve for him as well. You know, he's had to go through 3 different systems now, coming in as a lone player, young player as well. So yeah, going away on international duty, he's done himself some good. He'll be firmly in Harris's thinking, and the chances of him starting now are probably even more higher with the fact that George Honeyman might have to go into a central role if George Samuel doesn't play. So it's good things from Brooke, and I think as long as he continues to do what he's doing, because he isn't playing terrible, he's better than Watmore, he's better than Longman, I think Harris will have him firmly planted out on one of them wings, because that is the only position out of the 11 that is not settled under Harris at the moment. Every other position hasn't been changed. There's been the same players every game, apart from that left-hand side, or that right-hand side, sorry.
I think probably both wingers.
Because Honeyman's played out there every game under Harris, isn't he? So yeah, it's probably the most unsettled position, but you know, Brooke can make it his own, and that opportunity's there.
He's got 7-8 games left, obviously. I think it's going to be hard for him to get a look in at Arsenal next season. Yeah. But he's going to be wanting to put himself in the window again, whether that's... He's had 3 loan spells now in the Championship, sorry. So he might want to be putting himself in the window, possibly for a Premier League move for next season. So I think he's going to have a point to prove. I'm going to come back to your score predictions quickly, gents, because I think we've covered everything on international duty in West Brom. So for 10 minutes before we wrap this up, we're going to talk about the Rotherham game that we have on Easter Monday. Now, one of us is going up there. Place your bets as to who it will be in the comments. We'll pause for 5 seconds from now.
5 seconds? Just do 2.
Right, well, there's the 5 seconds anyway. Who's going to Rotherham?
This fucker over here is always, mate.
who's surprised at that?
I don't surprise myself anymore. They suck you in, mate. They suck me in anyway. I wasn't going, then 2 minutes later I had a ticket in my basket and it was bought. So
your finger slipped, mate.
The Millwall curse. I can't describe it. I was literally in the office the other day talking to you lot in chat, and we weren't even talking about the game really, I don't think, or talking about Rotherham, and I was like, right, who's going Rotherham with me? No one even said they were going to come with me.
No, Benjamin.
But I mean, I'm just driving up there.
To be fair.
It's true. Easter Monday, I'm driving up there. Listen, I think since Harris is back, I've said it on the show a few times, he's brought that kind of buzz back. Even that going to Leeds, like, I didn't think we'd get a result. we all knew we probably weren't going to get a result. But even in that performance, there's stuff in there that, you know, that before the game I hoped for and we got. And for that reason alone, it's like, you know, that's why you go to the games, and that's why, like, away from home, it's FOMO. I'll be honest, it is FOMO. But I've had that 10, 15 years ago in a way, and it's not going to stop anytime soon as much as I want it to. I hope we get a result. We should get a result. Knowing Millwall, when the owners has asked to get the result, we won't get the result. So make of that what you will, mate.
That's bad to say. The thing is, I think, I mean, Rotherham have got to be pretty close to being relegated. I did see someone tweet, we could put the final now in the coffin for them after what happened, was it 5-6 years ago when Harris was in interim charge? I think he'd probably like to get one over him if we were the team to finally put the nail in the coffin for him.
Good point. Yeah, good point. Was it Clark Harris, the Peterborough striker, was there at the time and posted a tweet towards Gregory or something?
Cause it was Steve Evans with his sombrero.
I'm pretty sure Clark Harris done something as well. I'm gonna fact check it myself afterwards. But
was that the Bristol Rovers game? Clark Harris put that up. Because we beat them down to their place to make the playoffs. It was like 4-3.
I think the Rotherham thing was just Steve Evans having a dig at
it. I remember seeing a tweet, right? Because I think Gregory said 2 games to go, like, Rotherham still needs a result and we'll have to get results and stuff, and then we lost. But yeah, I mean, Rotherham, I've not been there since that season. Was it that season? It was Holloway, wasn't it, at first that season? And I remember going there.
And 1-0.
I think we lost 2-1, maybe. I think it was 1-0 up, maybe. I remember Gregory missed the chance in the first half for one goal. And then afterwards, they scored it right up the other end. And the ground erupted and it kicked off in the near corner to the next to the home end. And yeah, it's an interesting ground. I'm looking forward to going there. Yeah, I'm still hoping to see the Chuckle Brothers, or one of them has actually passed away, hasn't it? I suppose, so I probably shouldn't say that. But when I think Rotherham, it's an interesting place to go to. We should get a result, and I'd love to relegate him after 6-7 years ago. You're right to mention that. Yeah. And fingers crossed we do that.
Yeah, but as Aimer just said, Jay, when the onus is on us to get a result, we know what Millwall can do.
I'm more confident in us beating West Brom than I am in beating Rotherham. That's just the Millwall way. I'd rather our running of the last 7 games be the top 7 in the league, because we'd turn up and we'd beat them. We've always been a club where we could beat the teams at the top, but we can't beat the teams at the... It's just the Millwall way. It's always been that way. But, you know, it's a different manager now, although he has been here before. And there's different things at stake. You know, this is championship survival. The money is different next year now. Us going down is going to be so bad. It will be so bad for his football club. And I think the players know that. Rotherham are finished. They're not staying up. I don't think they can get any result from that to the end of the season. And I do expect to beat them. But, as I said, you know, and as Omar said, when we've got to go there and get a win, we probably won. So I hope we don't look at it like that. I hope we just see it as, this is Rotherham, this is the next week, because we've got more chance of winning if we don't put too much pressure on ourselves.
The last one was Boxing Day as well, Dan. I don't know if you've seen that, but, you know, if there's any club to end it,
I thought it was before. I think that was January. Did they beat Middlesbrough in January?
No, they beat Middlesbrough on Boxing Day. So that was the last win they got at home. And that before that, they hadn't... They've won 2 games as far as I can go on flash score. So that's how bad it is for them.
I think they won 3 or 4 games all season.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
But they've played some teams really well. They played Ipswich really well. You know, that was a 4.
Yeah, they beat Coventry.
Beat Coventry. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I might have it in front of him, but they haven't been hammered. Teams haven't been going and hammering. You know, it's been...
They lost 5-0, and I am going to...
Apart from recently, they
conceded...
Lost 5-0 back-to-back. Stuff
like that. Yeah, as conceded...
But other than that, recent results, if I'm not mistaken, or around them two, they've not took a massive hide. You know, they've played teams well.
It feels like... Sorry, go on, Joe.
No, go on. Okay, man.
It feels like they're throwing the towel in, is what I was going to say then. Yeah. So,
You
finished. I've got a nice point.
I was just going to say, yeah, and hopefully, you know, who have they got tomorrow?
That's a great question.
Preston.
So if they lose at Preston, I think, you know, that is towel thrown in. And if we make any form of result up against West Brom, then, yeah, have full confidence going down to Rotherham and ironing them out. So, yeah, it could be a very good weekend for Millwall, a very good Easter weekend.
This is what I need. Get
4 points, I think. I'll go on the fence and say we're safe if we get 4 points from these games.
Well, Jake, very,
very confident.
Like I said at the start of the show, what if we get
six? We get promoted.
What if we get? All right, it could happen.
Well, listen, on the topic of being optimistic, all I'm going to say is Fred Onyedimma is not on their books anymore. He has been recalled from his loan spell. So there's at least one former line that can't come back to bite us on the arse this time. But one thing interesting, I'm just looking now, Rotherham are on 20 points and Birmingham on 39 left, and there is 8 games left this season, so they can get 24. So they can get up to 44. So I don't think we'll be the team to relegate them. We could be. I think it might fall to the opponents the following week, very possibly. But sometimes when teams are down the bottom, they have that sense of they've thrown the towel in. But then the pressure gets lifted and they just seem to pick up the odd fluky result here and there. Mm. I think we've got to be really careful we don't fall victim to that.
Yeah, I think we had it last season, albeit slightly different, with like the teams like Hull away, Wigan away last season. Wigan were fighting for their lives, but Hull were in mid-table mediocrity and nothing to play for. And it's like, they're almost to play for their next contract or move somewhere else, and there's no pressure on them. And then maybe there is an element of that, but I think Rotherham are doomed. I mean, we talk about if like they lose on Friday, they're on 20 points, and what is there? Eight games to go. So what? 24 points up for grabs. They're doomed. They're done. That's going to take us 44 points if they won all their games. And we're talking about us not being safe on 43 right now. So
yeah,
they're done for. But you're right. It could be double edged with that. But I'm not a betting man, Dan, but if I weren't
a betting man, Ben Green listening, this is taking tips.
£20 on Mule to win on Friday and Monday returns you £130.
You know, hey,
that's a bet. That's well,
there's Ben Green all over that.
It's going to fall on Friday, but you know, try him. You never know.
I'm just looking at some of the other games down there. I think the key one that's jumping out to me at the moment is QPR v Birmingham, obviously. That's 20th v 21st, and not both teams can win that one. So we could then know there's going to be at least one team below us dropping points this weekend. I think if you look at the other games as well, Plymouth have got to go to Norwich. That's a very difficult game. Stoke have got to go to Hull, again, very similar. Huddersfield have got Coventry. So this weekend doesn't look like it's going to be a too kind weekend on paper to some of the teams that are down the bottom. At least Friday doesn't. So, and we play early, so there's a chance just to put a little bit of pressure on the other teams if we can get something out of that game. If we don't, then the other teams might see it and see that they've maybe got a chance to get back into it a little bit. So
yeah,
it'd be nice to go out there and lay down a marker early doors, wouldn't it?
Well, not just them. You look at Blackburn's fixtures. I mean, Blackburn have got to play like the top four or top five, I think, in their last 8 games. And they haven't won in like 13 games. I don't think John Eustace has registered a win.
They've got Ipswich, actually. I didn't see it because it wasn't on the 3 o'clock.
There you go. So they've got a lot of off-the-field problems as well, you know, as well as Eustace has been in charge for like 15 games, I believe, hasn't won. You know, and to now have to try and win this amount of games to start when you've got to play the top four, top five in your remaining 8 games, I could see Blackburn dropping right into trouble. That only benefits us, even though we haven't picked any points up sitting here right now. Just the fixture list alone for Blackburn is enough to go, fucking hell, that's a bit more daunting. We could only get 1 point this weekend and Blackburn could get absolutely hammered and they'd be below us. You know, yeah. They'd find it even harder. So I think points are hard to come by for everybody.
I think while you're on about that subject, again, absolutely hammered as well, the goal difference is going to be key. We know under Harris, traditionally, we haven't taken too many hidings. I think it's important that if we are to lose a game, we don't get a hiding because the goal difference is quite tight. We've actually got one of the slightly better goal differences at the minute, which could be quite important come May 4th.
Yeah, sure, mate. I mean, I think we'll be all right. Sure, we're going to win both games this weekend. It's fine.
Right, so I think that leads us nicely on to the predictions segment, Omar.
You want to know our score lines for both games? Is that what you want?
Yes, please. We'll have a score line for both games, please, gents.
Okay, well, I'm not a betting man, Dan, but Jay Cooper's 18-1 to score on Friday, so this one's going to come for Cooper. it's going to come on Friday, all right? I've backed him every game. And
to be honest, if you put a quid on every game this season and he only scored once, I reckon you'd still probably make profit.
Well, it depends on the games. I mean, Stephen and Ben will tell you about a bet we done whilst in Blackburn for him to score. And
I've seen the bet. Don't worry, mate. You sent the bet to me.
So that was one thing. But look, I think if I'm genuinely honest, it'd be me all though. If we won on Friday, we'll lose on Monday. I think, look, I'm relatively confident ahead of the game on Friday. I'm going to go for... Come on. I'm going to go 1-0 Millwall. We're going to nick it. Home win. And is drawn by Rotherham game as well?
We'll have your Rotherham as well, yeah.
Well, Rotherham game, we're going to win 2-0. And Obafemi will probably get a couple up there. There you go. So Cooper's going to score Friday and Obafemi's going to score twice on Monday. There you go.
Nice. Interesting.
Double clean sheet for the weekend.
I'm going to say 1-1 Friday. I've been pretty away at my predictions recently. I predicted 2-1 Southampton, 2-0 Leeds, 1-0 Birmingham. So I'm going to say 1-1 and hope I lose for a win and not for a loss. But I'm going to say 1-1 and I'm going to say... Oh, I'm going to say Zian Fleming scores.
Do you like it?
And I'm going to say... I'm going to say 3-0 Rotherham. And I'm going to say Obafemi gets two and Cooper gets the other.
Here we go. Well, Omar, as Jay just said, he's on good form. I know you're not a betting man, but I think that's something worth considering.
Yeah. I also backed, what's it called, our 1-0 win against Birmingham too. So, I mean, I'm not a betting man as well, Dan, but Cooper is a good odds to score next Monday as well. So, there you go.
I'll go now. I'm going to go for a 0-0 on Friday. I think we'll keep a clean sheet. I think it'll be a very hard-fought point, one where I think we'll probably be clinging on rather than pushing for a point, to be honest. And then I think we'll beat Rotherham 2-1 on Monday. I think we might almost take it easy because it's Rotherham. I think we might go a goal down. I think at half time Harris will give him an absolute bollocking. I think we'll come out second half, and I think I'm going to go Ryan Leonard with one of these long shots to get us back into the game at 1-1, and then I think Obafemi will nick the winner. Probably in the last 10-15 minutes. Not as late as Birmingham, please, lads, because you're taking a few years off my life at this point.
Three of us have gone over Femi to score Monday. So I mean,
yeah.
I mean, but look, one thing I would ask that same answer anyway, to play Devil's Africa, would you take two draws this weekend?
I would. I think I probably would, yeah.
Take the points on the board, innit? And just, you know, start to claw away. If as long as we don't lose this weekend, don't let other teams catch us. Just take 2 points, move on.
As I said at the start of the video, there's so many teams down there. So many teams have got to play each other. You know, near enough most weeks, at least one team down there is going to drop points. So it'd be nice to get survival secured sooner rather than later. I think we've had, to be honest, I'll take the end of season fun ending now. If you said to me, you can win your next two games and you're safe, I'd be like, right, fantastic, let's get it done. I don't want to be going into Plymouth at home and Swansea away needing results. So, yeah, that's going to be it. Gents, any final thoughts?
No, just roll on Friday, and if anyone's going Rotherham Monday, say hello. I won't be intoxicated because I'll be driving, so you might get a good side of me, and yeah.
Make it, Jay. Jay?
Yeah, no, just pack the den on Friday, get down there and join Omar at the away end at Rotherham and give us some support, and hopefully we come away with some relatively good things to say, and that the next pod will be cheering with some champagne at possible safety rather than drowning into some Stellas on taking Rotherham for granted, as we spoke about.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Just to make everyone aware before we sign this off, there is going to be no Sunday live this week due to the scheduling of the game. So we are going to do a live on Friday night after the West Brom game. It's going to be more of a reflection and then a preview of Rotherham. We won't be live on Sunday. We will be live on Monday after the Rotherham game, providing we can get enough people. I think we should be able to get enough people to be able to do something for you guys. So, and obviously, if we're short, message the podcast. Everyone message Omar. He's our leader. He is our commander-in-chief for the next...
We'll get Omar on the phone on his car on the way up.
Yeah, exactly.
I
mean,
3 o'clock. I might be back. You never know. Might surprise you. On the way back. I might be making back for Monday night, but we'll see.
So everyone who's been listening, thank you very much for your time and support. It's greatly appreciated. If you're listening on YouTube, or if you've been listening on Spotify, if you're listening on YouTube, comment below. If you're listening on Spotify, go on to our Twitter, X feed, whatever it's called now. Comment below. We want 3 predictions from you. First, we want your West Brom score. Second of all, we want your Rotherham score. And third of all, we want the celebrity you think Mickey Simpson is going to look the most like when he comes back. And when he listens to this back, this is going to be my last appearance on the podcast. So thank you very much, everyone. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And from that, that Millwall podcast, over and out.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.